All right. Morning, everybody. Special day today. We start Masechet Zvachim. It's Seder Kachin. And today's daf beis in Zvachim. It would be nice if we gave like an introductory course to Seder Zvachim. That would be excellent, considering the fact that a lot of the learning in the Mishnah and the Gemara that we're going to do is predicated on the fact that we know a little bit about carbonates in general, right? The if you take a look at the Chumash, Chumash dedicates a tremendous amount of its time, right, just percentage wise, just simple percentage of the Chumash to carbonates, right? Of the Chumash and Vayikra, say for Vayikra, which a good bulk of it is dedicated to the topic of carbonates, of bringing carbonates. And so in order to have a good appreciation, proper appreciation of what we're about to learn, it's always good to know the basics to lay the groundwork, the foundation for it. But we have to go through the daf, and you know our objective every day is to finish the daf of Gemara. So we're going to basically learn as we go. And as we get through each Mishnah and each Gemara, so we're going to learn more and more. I will recommend, highly recommend, like what we just learned yesterday at the end of Arios, that you should sit down on your own and go through the Mishnayos of Zvachim and the Mishnayos of Menachos. The two really go hand in hand in the same volume, and really get a good basic and a good foundation for all these topics. If we could just take a moment to step back from the Gemara and take a look at the global picture of Shas, it's very interesting. We are now in the fourth Seder of Mishnayos. We just finished three Sedarim. Fifth Seder of Mishnayos. We just finished four Sedarim of Mishnayos. Now, as of course you all know, we didn't really finish Zeraim. We didn't do Zeraim. We didn't touch Zeraim. The best thing we did is we learned Masechta Brachos, which is the first Masechta in Zeraim, but we didn't do Zeraim. Zeraim is not part of the Daf Yomi cycle, as we already know. But we did all of Moed, including Shkalim, right, which is a little bit strange because Shkalim doesn't have a Gemara on it. It has a Yerushalmi on it. But again, right, without questioning, Rabbi Shapiro felt that we should go through all Seder Moed, so we do. And we go through all Seder Nashim, right? That's pretty straightforward. And we go through most of Seder Nezikin. Not all of Seder Nezikin, but most of Seder Nezikin, right? And we missed two Masechtas in Seder Nezikin. We missed Adios and we missed Avos. And now we start with Seder Kachim. It is a little bit interesting, it's curious, that there is Gemara on Seder Zvachim, right? I'll make an observation, and I won't have a really good. It's not so much a question and answer. It's more just a general observation. The Amoraim spent a lot of time on Seder Kachim, meaning there's Gemara on Seder Kachim, and it's just a little bit curious because Zrayim has no Gemara on except for Brachos, but Brachos is how to make a brach on food, and that's practical, and Kriya Shema and Shmon Esrei, and all your basics about davening. So good. So the Amoraim wrote a Gemara on Brachos. But Zrayim in general, it's all about agricultural law, and the Amoraim were living both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz, but at a time when agricultural law wasn't as relevant as it was when the temple existed. So therefore, they didn't write a Gemara on Zeraim. And the same thing is true with Taharos, meaning the sixth Seder of Mishnayos, which shows all about Tum and Tahara. So again, the Amoraim didn't write Gemaras on that as well, because it's Tum and Tahara. And without a base of Mikdash, and without the issue of being Tahor, and going into the base of Mikdash in the state of Tahara, so they didn't write that on that as well. There is one Masecht in Taharos, which is Nida, which the Amoraim did write about, but Nida is husband and wife, relations between a husband and wife, and that's obviously very Lamaisa. So when you get to Seder Kachim, I don't know what happened, meaning that the Amoraim wrote on Seder Kachim, and on some of the most, what now becomes esoteric simply because we don't have a base of Mikdash. I guess more than anything else, it speaks to the idea that they long for the base of Mikdash and they want the rebuilding of the base of Mikdash, and so they express that in form of learning. So what they did is that they sat there and they learned the Mishnayos of Seder Kachim, and they expounded like they would with any of the other Gemaras, even though it's as not relevant as Zrayim is and as Tahara says. So it's very interesting, and we will spend a good part of a year and a half together, learning together Seder Kachim, right? It starts today, the mid-November, and this is going to take us through next November, and it's going to take us another 6 months after that, about 18 months approximately in Daf Yomi world to go through all of Seder Kachim. Just about. In other words, it's a year and a half of Seder Kachim, then 2 months of Nida, and then we start again. It's that easy. Really, it really is. Oh, man. Okay, and let's begin. We will be focusing on one aspect over the course of the first perek, and that's the aspect of kavana. When you shech the karban, so you have to have a certain kavana. You have to have a mindset in mind. Now, again, I'm going to keep saying this again and again. In order to know, you have to know, and it's you know, a lot of this is cyclical. But what kavanas do we need? Meaning, the Mishnah is not going to tell us that information. That information comes up later on in the Masechta, somewhere in the men's. Right, Menvav. Right. So later on in the Masechta, we're gonna talk exactly about what kind of kavanas you need in order to shecht. In fact, on Amud Beis today, we're gonna talk in more specific detail. But just for the time being, just know that every time that you shecht the carbon, you have to have a certain kavanah. You have to have a certain mindset, and specifically lishma. It has to be for the sake of the carbon. Right. This concept of lishma happens a number of times in halacha. Right, notably, and we'll talk a lot about this today, by a get. Well, you write a get for a wife, so it has to be lishma. Lishma is nothing mystical, nothing magical, just the means for the sake of this. That, in other words, when you're doing a certain act, it has to be a purposeful act. It can't just simply be an arbitrary act, and so therefore, you need that element of lishma. It has to be for the sake of. So, God forbid, a man has to write a get for his wife, so it has to be lishma. It has to be specifically for the sake of that woman. The get has to be written for that man and for that woman, and specifically for the purposes of divorce. It has to be purposeful. In the world of karbanos, also there's this requirement of lishma. Every time you do a maisa avoda, an act that is constituted avoda with a karban, it has to be lishma. Quickly, we're going to see this again and again and again. All this will get drilled in over the course of the next year and a half. There are four avodas. There are four different actual services, points in the actual temple service where it qualifies as a avoda, meaning it is a formal legal avoda. Number one is the shechting of the animal. Number two, the receiving of the blood into a container. This is called Kabbalah Saddam. Number three, halacha, walking the blood over to the Mizbeach. And number four, Zrikas Haddam, sprinkling the Mizbeach. Okay? Sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach. These are your four avodas, and this, for every one of these actions, you have to have an element of kavana, of intent, and specifically it has to be lishma, it has to be for the sake of. So in other words, every time a Kohen does the avoda, he has to know what he's dealing with, he has to know what he's working with. There are many different types of kavanos, and again, we're not going to go through it now, but there are many different types of kavanos, and every single time the Kohen is sitting there with a knife and an animal, he's got to say to himself, wait a second, stop, pause, what am I doing? What is this carbon? Who is it for? If it serves as an atonement, as a kapara, what's the kapara for? And he has to have the right lishma element. Okay. We are going to discuss in the first Mishnah of Masechta Zvachim, what happens if you don't have lishma? What kind of sustained damage does the carbon have if in the event you did not do it lishma? Okay, so this is our discussion of the first Mishnah of Zvachim. Kol Zvachim shenizbechu shelo lishman ksherim. So the carbon itself did not sustain major damage. If you had a carbon and you shechted it shelo lishman, and you had a lo lishma element to it, look at the first Rashi on the Masechta. Shenishchat ol lishlem shlam. So we're going to go very simple in terms of an example over here. Let's say that it was a carbon ola. Carbon ola. In the world of karbanos, we have basically two designations. We have what's called kachim kachim, and we have kachim kalim. Kachim kachim are higher level karbanos. Kachim kalim are lower level karbanos. The basic differences between kachim kachim and kachim kalim, kachim kachim either are not eaten at all, like an ola, or very limited eating, like a chatas, where it can only be eaten by zichri kahuna, by the male kohanim, in the azara, in the actual temple courtyard. Okay, that's your world of kachim kachim. Your world of kachim kalim are your shlamim, your pesach, your toda. These are karbanos that are broader in terms of who can eat them, right? Men and women, and maybe even children, and where they can be eaten as well. They can be eaten pretty much anywhere within the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay? So those are your two basic designations. So Rashi over here gives us a very simple example where it was an ola, and the Kohen who does the avoda is holding the carbon in his hand. He says, I'm shechting it l'shem shlamim for the purposes of a shlamim. Good? And that is now, he obviously did not have l'shma. It's what's called shalol l'shma. It's negative kavana because it's not what the carbon is. The carbon actually was an ola, and he sat there and he, in his mind, changed it to a shlamim. Okay, a couple of general points, then we're going to move on in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. First of all, we're going to keep talking again and again about where you had either l'shma or shalol l'shma. Now, the Mishnah keeps using the words machshava, right? A thought. In the Mishnah, whenever we say that the Kohen had a thought, does that mean that he actually thought it in his head? It was a conscious awareness that, right, as he's doing it, he's thinking a certain thing? Or does that thought have to be expressed in words? So Rashi, throughout the Masechta, and other Masechtas as well, says that every time we're talking Machshav, we're talking about Dibur, right, which is good. It's a much easier position to adopt. Because we're not supposed to be mind readers. We're not supposed to know what the Kohen's thinking. And even if the Kohen does have a thought, right, how real, how significant is that thought if it's not expressed in word? So Rashi and Tosfos both are of the opinion that every time we talk about a machshava, a thought, it has to be verbalized, it has to be expressed. Otherwise, it's not a thought. In general, it's just a great topic of Shas in general, just to know the significance of thoughts. Right, there's a debate. I'll just give you one example. There's a debate in the Shulchan Aruch. What if you wake up in the morning? You know you're not allowed to learn before you say Birchas HaTorah, right? Birchas HaTorah is a matir in order to learn Torah. What if you are not actually learning Bedibur, but you're thinking about Torah? So do you need to make a Birchas HaTorah in the morning? Subject to a debate, to Machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch. Good. So again, it's a general idea of to what degree, how significant a thought is. You could say Torah is different, I understand, but just I'm giving you a framework, a structure. Here in our Mishnah, we're going to be talking about Lishma, Shalol Lishma, Kavana, right, intent. So Rashi and Tosfos both say throughout the Masechta, it means Dibur, it means that it has to be verbalized. Okay,
this
good.
This is different from Pigol.
This is not, would be Pigol. Well, hold on. Wait 1 second. Okay, I'll get to you in just a moment. Two, the other major topic, which is not discussed here in the Mishnah, is a topic of liability of the Kohen. Right, because right, a number of times we're going to be learning this, and you're going to say to yourself, wait a second, the Kohen just messed up. Right? What kind of liability does he have for messing up? And that's in of itself its own separate topic. That's an Ezekiel issue, that's a damages issue. And it gets on to the issue of, right, Hezek Sheinu Nikar, it's not recognized, the damage that was done by the Kohen, because it's only a Kavana issue, it's not real damages, it's not actual property damages. Okay, so again, that's another general issue which we're not going to be focusing on. We are going to be focusing on this Mishnah, just the sustained damage of the karban when the Kohen has a shalol lishma, a not lack of intent, but an incorrect intent with the animal. Okay, so let's start the Mishnah again. Pigol, by the way, is this whole separate topic of discussion. Pigol is shalol chutz mizmano, chutz mimkomo, that when he does the avoda, he thinks to himself, I'm going to either eat the carbon outside of its prescribed time, or I'm going to, right, it's a different, this is...
But is that a declaration or is that a thought?
Again, same issue. But we're going to, Rashi and Tosfos both say it has to be a declaration. A thought by itself, right, has to be speech.
What is the Rambam saying for both of them?
So it's not clear. It's not clear. I don't have the Rambam in front of me, but I do remember, right, in one of my notes, there was a discussion about the Rambam and his position on Machshava versus Dibur. But Rashi and Tosfos are both very clear. Tosfos is right here on the page that it has to be Dibur. Right? He keeps saying it's Dibur. Okay, so let's go back. Good. So if a Kohen sits there and does any one of the avodas, and he does it shalol lishman, and he has now a wrong kavana. It's not no kavana, it's a wrong kavana. So it's an ol, and he says, I'm going to shechtos l'shem shlamim, for the purposes of a shlamim. The carbon's still okay. Ela shalol ala labalim, l'shem chova. But the problem is that now the owner of this animal, assuming that he was required to bring this animal, which most of the time is the case, so it's no longer attached to the owner. The owner now has to go out and get a new carbon. So yeah, again, we go back to that issue of liability of the Kohen, but that's not going to be our focus for today. Our focus for today is just what is the effect of having a kavana shelo lishma. So the owner's got to get a new animal, but the carbon is still a carbon. So in other words, he could finish doing the avoda with the carbon, and if it's a carbon that is edible, right, by the Kohanim or by the people, that could be eaten with all the rules and regulations of a carbon. If it's an ola, it's still burnt on the mizbeach in its entirety. It's just detached from the owner, and the owner now has to get out and get a new carbon. Two exceptions to this rule, where a kavana, a machshava, shelo lishma, where it's going to totally disqualify the carbon. Chutz min ha-pesach le-achatas, ha-pesach bezmano v'chatas b'chol zman, except for Karban Pesach and for Achatas. Where by a Karban Pesach and Achatas, if the Kohen sits there on the 14th day of Nisan, takes a Karban Pesach and says, I'm shechting this l'shem ola. Right? Why did he do that? I don't know. Maybe it was a mistake. But it doesn't matter. If he goes and he has a shelo lishma machshava with this animal, it not just detaches the owner from the animal, it disqualifies the animal in total, and the animal now is not fit to be brought as a carbon.
What are
they burn it. Destroy it. Meaning not on the Mizbeach. So
they shecht it and they burn it, or they just...
Unsure. Okay. Unsure, but that needs to be destroyed. And the same thing is true regarding carbon chatas as well. Carbon chatas, which is brought because somebody inadvertently sinned, and now he brings his carbon chatas to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen sits there and... Although the Kohen will receive very clear instructions, this is the Karban Chatas, sits there and he says, as he's shechting the animal, this is L'shem Ola or L'shem Shlamim. Again, more than just detach the owner from the animal, but totally ruin, possible, disqualify the animal, and the animal can no longer be brought as a carbon.
As far as the owner is concerned, what are the same?
Right. No, correct.
Right, I mean, he loses either way.
Right.
Even if it's Pesach or Chatur or
Arif. Either way he's going to lose. But more than that, again, the Mishnah is right now just focused on the damage of the animal itself. Meaning the owner right now is a tangential issue. The main issue of the Mishnah is what becomes of the animal.
How does the owner know there's no Kavana?
Huh?
How does the owner know that there was no
Kavana? So it has to be, that's why Rashi and Tosafot say that just a thought by itself is nothing. It has to be verbalized.
So if he didn't speak.
If he didn't speak, so, right? Okay. And we're going to learn today, by the end of today, we're going to learn about stam. Meaning, what if there was no kavana in either direction? Positive or minus. Okay? Rabbi Lazar Omer, so again, our Mishnah now has introduced us to the idea of lishma. A kavana shalal lishma will generally not disqualify an animal, just detach the owner from the animal, except for Pesach and Chatas, where it disqualifies the animal, a kavana shalal lishma. Okay, more in the Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar Omer Af Ha'Asham HaPesach Bezmano VeChatas. Rabbi Lazar, all he does over here in the Mishnah is that when we say Chatas, we mean Chatas plus Asham. Now, the Tanakhama disagrees. Tanakhama feels that the Chatas and Asham are two different carbonos, and by an Asham it doesn't disqualify the carbon. Rabbi Lazar says no. Asham ke Chatas. Asham and Chatas are the same. In principle, in concept, Asham really is the same idea as a chatas. A person brings a carbon asham because he sinned and he needs a kapara, he needs to achieve an atonement. So in concept, the asham is like a chatas. Rabbi Lazar says in halacha, the asham is like a chatas as well. So that if a kohen were to take a carbon asham and have a kavar shalal lishma, it disqualifies the animal. Again, when we go to the Gemara, we'll understand better what the nekudah machlokas is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Lazar. Ha'asham b'chol zman. Let me do that again. Rabbi Lazar Omer Af Ha'asham HaPesach b'zmano v'achatos v'asham b'chol zman. Amar Rabbi Lazar Chatos ba'al chet v'asham ba'al chet. And here Rabbi Lazar just expresses this idea that look, asham and chatos are the same. It's the same idea. Ma'achatos p'sul shalol l'shma Af Ha'asham p'sul shalol l'shma. Good. So it's basically the same idea. And therefore, it will disqualify the animal if the Kohen has a Shalolosh Makavana. Yosi ben Choni Omer, Hanishchatam Hashem Pasach Hashem Chatas Psulim. Yosi ben Choni says, is of the opinion that this whole idea of Chatas and Pesach is reciprocal. Meaning that if I take another animal, another carbon, right, a regular Shlamim or a regular Ola, and the Kohen sits there and says, you know, I'm shechting this L'shem Chatas. Right? So according to Yosi ben Choni, he disqualified the animal. Just like if I had an actual carbon chatas of Pesach, and the Kohen, when he shechted it, had another carbon in mind, it disqualifies the animal. So too, if you had another animal, and you had a kavana of Pesach or chatas, it also disqualifies as well. So, and again, when we get to the Gemara, we'll see better what he bases this position on. Yosef ben Choni Omer Nishchat L'Shem Pesach Shem Chatas Psulim. Shimon Achi Azaria, Shimon brother of Azaria. Not normal that we when we refer to a Tana, we identify who's his brother. Right? Usually we establish paternity. We usually don't have to establish fraternity. Rashi over here explains Al Shem She Azaria Osek BePrakmatia V'Sipeg Tzorchei Shimon Achi B'Shashaya Osek B'Tara. So the brothers made a command arrangement, where one was going to be the breadwinner and the other one was going to learn. Right? You heard of such an arrangement. Right? So, and so, as the Rashi writes, V'sipik tzor chishim anachiv v'shashay oseh betar v'histo b'neim shiu chelek la'azariah b'schar tamud asho Shimon. And part of the deal is that for everything that Shimon learns, all the schar, all the reward that he learns, that he gets for learning, is going to be divided between Shimon and his brother Azariah. So that's why in the Mishnah, every time we see the word Shimon Achi Azariah, you know that because they actually made such an arrangement. So we call that a Yisachar Zvulun arrangement, based on the Yisachar Zvulun, also the two tribes making such an arrangement. Here you have two brothers making the arrangement. So Shimon Achi Azariah Omer Shachton L'Shem Gavoa Mehen K'sherim L'Shem Namuch Mehem Psulin. So he's of the opinion that, look, it goes like this. If when you shecht it, you had a higher order carbon in mind, that's fine. Meaning that the carbon that you're working with right now does not receive such a hit. The carbon's still going to be an acceptable carbon. I would suggest that he agrees that the owner now becomes detached from the animal, right? But the carbon still is a qualified carbon. However, l'shem namuch mehem psulim. But if when you're working with a carbon, you're thinking lower order carbon, that's no good. You disqualify the carbon. Ketzad? So let's again, I'm going to now go through simple examples. Kache kachim sheshachtam l'shem kachim kalim psulim. So let's have a kache kachim, which is either a chatas or an ola or an asham, right? And then the Kohen says, as he's doing the avoda, I'm shechting this l'shem shlamim. So according to Azariah, no good. Shimon Achei Azariah, you disqualify the carbon. Carbon is now puzzle. Let's go the other direction. But let's say the animal itself is a shlamim, lower order carbon, lower kedusha carbon, and the Kohen had in mind, I'm going to shech this as a chatas, as an asham, as an ola, ksherim. That would be acceptable. Fine. Habachor v'amaiser sheshachtam l'shem shlamim ksherim. Bechor and meiser, that you shecht l'shem shlamim. Now, bechor and meiser in general are shlamim. Every time we talk and we categorize, right, in your schematic of how karbanot should be organized, we usually refer to bechor and meiser as shlamim because they are. They're fundamentally shlamim. However, the Bechor and the Meiser themselves are in organizational structure are slightly lower on the totem pole than a regular Shlamim. Rashi tells us why. There are certain differences between them. Last Rashi in the Mishnah. Bechor and Meiser Behema Nemuchim Mishlamim. The Bechor and Meiser Behema. Meiser Behema, by the way, is every 10th animal has to be brought into the Beis Hamikdash and eaten as a shlamim. They are still slightly lower kedamin and beper kol adad. Tadi will learn this later on. Because shlamim in general have more requirements. They have to four blood applications. You have the requirement of smicha, placing your hand on the animal, nesachim, the libations that go along with the rishlamim, tenufa chazev v'shok, the waving of the chest and the arm of the animal. Okay, again, all these things we'll learn in due time, but they're just simply more to a shlamim than a bechor and a meiser. So, in our Shimon ben Azariah rule of higher order machshava is okay, lower order machshava is pasul. So he gives another example. So let's say you have a bechor and meiser sheshachtem l'shem shlamim, ksherim. So if you have bechor and meiser and the kohen sits there and he says, I'm shachting this l'shem shlamim, that's okay because he had in mind higher order. Shlamim sheshachtem l'shem bechor l'shem meiser psulim. However, if you have a shlamim and he had in mind bechor and meiser, no good because that's lower order. Good. All right, we have successfully navigated ourselves through the first Mishnah of Zvachim. Many opinions in the Mishnah, but the takeaway point from the Mishnah is that in general, a kavanah shelo lishma does not disqualify a karban, only detaches the owner from the karban. Now the owner's got to go there and get a new karban, with only two exceptions of chatas and karban pesach. Where there, a shelo lishma machshava will totally disqualify the carbon. But in general, it does not disqualify the carbon. Okay.
This is only about Shechita.
It could be during any one of the avodas. Every time I keep coming back to the example of Shechita, but this lack of kavana would ostensibly be by any one of the dalet avodas.
So this is focusing primarily on the personal offerings as opposed to the communal offerings?
And right now we're talking about personal offerings. We're not talking about communal offerings. First Tosfos on the Amud. This would be true by any of the avodas. Okay, lama lelemisne ella shelo ella shelo alo lisne velo alo labalam l'shem chova. Okay, the Gemara nitpicks, which is what the Gemara's job is to do. It's to nitpick, and the first thing that the Gemara is bothered by in the Mishnah is an extra word. Right, in general we have a rule. Rashi brings it down. It's the first Rashi in the Gemara. La olam yishana adam la tamudo derech kitzara. If you could say it in two words, don't say it in three words. If you could say it in one word, don't say it in two words. You should be as concise as possible when you learn something, right? For the sake of brevity, for the sake of clarity, and we want to be precise and concise. So when the Mishnah writes, the Mishnah says, "Kol zvachim shenizbuchu shalosh shman ksherim, ela shelo alu labalim." The word ela is totally superfluous. Right, and the Gemara says, you know, you could have written the Mishnah without the word Ella. It would have worked. Just simply add a little vav over there, attach this clause to the previous clause, and it works. And it doesn't serve the owner of the animal and fulfill his obligation of the carbon. Why do we have the word Ella? But rather. So Ella over here tells us that there's only one consequence of having a shelo lishma, which is it takes the carbon and it detaches it from its owner. But the carbon is still the same carbon. Just because the kohen sat there and he shechted the animal and he said, I'm shechting this l'shem shlamim, and it turns out that it wasn't a shlamim, it was an ola, we still treat it as an ola. The carbon itself doesn't change. All the only result is that now the owner and the carbon are not connected, but the carbon is still the same carbon.
How can you get from ola to shlamim? Because you said you can go high but not lower.
Again, that's the opinion of Shimon ben Azariah. That's not what we're holding in. We're holding right now in the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says by general, it only detaches, and the Gemara says, and that's why we have the word ela. Ella is telling us that's the only thing that happens. It's just a detachment of owner from animal. But the animal itself is still in the same level of Kedusha. And so therefore, consequently, the Gemara goes on to explain. And that means that from this point forward, you're going to finish the avoda, meaning you shechted the carbon. Again, let's say it's the carbon ola. You're going to shech the ola. The Kohen ruined it. Not ruined it, but right, made a mistake by saying this is L'shem Shlamim. Okay, good. So now the owner is not out of the picture anymore. But you're going to fit, it's still a carbon. You're still going to bring it as a carbon. From this point forward, you still have to treat it like an ola. Uchid the Rava, just give me a moment. The Amar Rava, ola sheshach to shlo shma, asal is rok damar shlo shma. So once you made a mistake, you can't just simply go back and repeat it now. The next avoda that I'm going to do, again, shlo shma. with another type of carbon in mind. You can't do that. And Rava says, and how do I know this Ibaisema Svari Ibaisema Kra? Look, I can either come at you with logic or with a pasuk. Let's start off with logic. Ibaisema Svar Mishun Dishani by Kolhani Kolhani Lishani Bavalazel. Just because you make a mistake, you should continue to make the same mistake again and again. It's right.
Intentional or unintentional?
That's not the point. The point is, it's still an ola. The first time it was done, let's assume that it was unintentional. The coin didn't mean anything bad by it. He just made a mistake. But still, it was shelo lishma. He did not have the proper mindset, the intent when he shechted it. Don't go and repeat the mistake. That's the argument that Rava makes.
If he wants to use logic, why doesn't he stick with consistency? Why don't you stay consistent? If you said, okay, it's going to be an Ola, then just stay consistent logically and just say Ola for all the other steps, the other three steps. You know, like,
because it's not. Because it's not. In other words, that's exactly the point. You have to keep it for what it is, just because you're the one who made the mistake. But the animal was designated as a particular animal just because the Kohen sat there and thought he's going to change it. He's not changing it.
So it retains what the owner had in mind.
Correct. Ibai Semakra, or I can point to a pasuk. Pasuk says in Parshas Kisei, Motzei Svasecha Tishmor Vasisecha Shnei Dat Hashem Lakecha Nedava. You got to keep your word, says the Torah. Motzei Svasecha Tishmor, anything that comes out of your mouth, you got to keep, and you got to Asisecha Shnei Nedarta. That which you dedicated, that which you pledge, you got to keep your pledges. Hashem Lakecha Nedava. Now, what the Torah does is that it shifts. It goes from neder to nedava. Now we know, we in the world of halacha know, neder and nedava are not the same, not exactly the same. Neder is when I obligate myself. Nedava is just simply when I donate a particular object. Right? The Mishnah Megillah says, ain't be neder and nedava. Right? There are neder and nedava, there's essentially our kabanos, but a neder, I have personal liability. If I dedicate something as a neder, that means that I commit myself to bring a carbon ola. Nedava is just simply, this animal is a carbonola, but it's not my commitment. And I have no personal liability if anything happens to the animal. What the Torah does is it shifts from neder to nedava. So the Gemara says, how do you understand that? Hi nedava, top now of Beis Amud Beis, neder hu. Elam, in kamash nedarta asita yeh neder. Look, here's how we're going to understand the Torah. If you did according to what you designed, what you dedicated the animal as an ola, you were makdish the animal as an ola, and now it was brought as an ola. Good, perfect. The imlo nidava yehe. But what if not? Meaning, what if the Kohen sat there and said, "Not l'shem ola, but l'shem shlamim," and now he detached you from the carbon. The carbon now moves from a position of neder to a position of nidava, meaning that the animal now, although it's not yours, it's no longer, you're not connected to it, but still it's a nidava. It's a carbon. And nedava mishar l'shnuyibay. And if it's a nedava, if I bring an animal to the Beis HaMikdash and I say, here's an animal, it's an ola, can the Beis HaMikdash say, yeah, today we don't need ola, but we could use shlamim today, let's change it? You can't do that. Once an animal is designated something, that's it. So here also, even though it no longer serves as a neder, it won't satisfy your personal obligation, but the carbon still, whatever it was originally designated as, so we brought it as a nedava. Okay, so this is Rava's Kra, this is Rava's Pasuk, that teaches us that even though the Kohen now butchered it, right, both literally and figuratively, thank you, so even though he butchered it, but nevertheless, the carbon is what it originally was, and so therefore, from this point forward, even though you're going to finish the Avoda, you have to finish it with its original designation, period. Okay. Amalei Ravina l'Rav Papa. Lo havis gaban b'orsa b'tchuma b'charmech derami rav emili mal yasa. You missed it last night. It's unbelievable. You weren't within tchum Shabbos of b'charmech, and you didn't come to shir, and you missed what Rav was talking about. You missed it. V'shani luhu. And I'm sorry, Rami b'milsa. He brought up contradictions one to another, and he answered them. And my mila mal yasa. So what is these? So good. So I missed shir yesterday. You're right. I didn't come. So you want to give me a recap? What happened in shir yesterday? So it goes like this. Tanan. We learned in our mishnah. Kol zvachim shenizbuchu shelo lishman. Okay. Our first mishnah is zvachim. Right. We're starting today. Masechta zvachim. First dafa seder zvachim. Seder kachim. And we learned today that if you shecht an animal shelo lishman, okay, good. Time of the shelo lishman, hastama alunam lebalim l'shem chova. What if the kohen had no kavana? Right, we are going in one of two directions in our mishnah, either lishma, which means that he it is a carbonola. The kohen says to himself, "I'm shechting this as a carbonola." Or shalom lishma, where it's a carbonola, and the Kohen sits there and says, "I'm shechting this l'shem shlamim." Okay, that's our mishnah. What if there's neutral, right? Not milchik, not fleishik, parf. Okay, what if there's no kavana? Amas tama nami kilishman dami. So he says, "Well, I'll make a dig on the mishnah because the mishnah."
No kavana means that the guy doesn't make any declaration.
No declaration.
So, but there's nobody there to watch and say, "Hey, what's going on? What is this?"
No declaration. No declaration. The animal was dedicated as a carbonola, and the Cohen said, Cohen was given this animal, and the Cohen, right? And the Cohen doesn't say anything.
He stays quiet.
Nothing. He stays quiet.
Is there a requirement for him to say out loud what he's doing? Ah,
so okay, wait one second. Okay, so time of the Shalosman Hastama Alunam Labalim L'Shem Chova. So, but in the Mishnah, however, you'll notice the Mishnah focuses on the Shalolishma, right? It only focuses on the negative, which means now, by process of elimination, right, logic dictates that anything other than Shalolishma is acceptable, right? So it should be okay. So even though he said nothing, it was neutral. But since the Mishnah only disqualifies the Shalolishma, so good. So we'll make now a very simple deek in the Mishnah through logical process and say neutral is okay. However, I will challenge you based on another area in Halacha where there's this Lishma requirement, and that's by get. Okay? If you write a get and you don't write L'Shem Isha, it's pasul. Now, one of the requirements of writing a get, Rambam writes in the opening of Hilchos Gittin, of Gerushin, is that you need this Lishma, and it's li'ikuva. If you don't write a get Lishma, the get is not going to be a good get. Okay? And Lishma, there's nothing, again, I go back to this point again, it's nothing magical, there's nothing mystical. Lishma just simply means you have to know specifically for which guy and for which woman you're writing it for. And if you write a get and you're just writing names, and it happens to be, hey, look at that. I found a get with my name on it and my wife's name on it. Oh, good, I'll use it. It's no good. You can't use it. It's not a good get. It's not acceptable. Now, what if the get was written stam? Now this is, by carbonos, it's easier to explain what stam means. By gittin, it's challenging. Right?
Maybe they just didn't fill the name. I'm saying you wrote the whole
thing.
You have a guy who wants to mass produce it, so he just fills him in.
Right.
And he leaves a blank.
But, okay, fine. All right.
It's the only way.
Right. It's just hard. It's just more challenging to explain it. So, L'Shem Isha Pasul, Ustama Nami Pasul. So, here's what we could say, though, that in the world of Gittin, neutral is no good. Right? It has to be a positive Lishma in the world of Gittin. So, right? By Gittin, either you say it's Lishma or it's nothing. Short of saying that Lishma is nothing. So, the Gemara now produces Rava back in the Shir that was missed, said that you see there's somewhat of a problem. In the world of Karbanos, neutral is good. In the world of Ged, neutral is bad.
So what?
Right. Vishani, and the answer is Zvachim b'stam l'shman omdim, Isha b'stam alav l'gerishim omedis. Because you have to look at the context. When you're a Kohen and you're in the base of Mikdash and you're about to shecht an animal to be brought on the Mizbeach, so you have enough going for you where your stam, where your neutral is positive. Because the way the Gemara says it is Zvachim b'stam l'shman omdim. Right? When you're shechting a karban, it's enough supportive evidence is going around you, where even if you said nothing, that's considered lishma. But in the case of a get, every woman stands to be divorced? No, every woman stands to be married. Divorce, it's a change from the status quo. You want to change from the status quo? You want to take a woman and make her an unmarried woman? You can't just simply write a get and say, well, we'll have neutral kavana, and that'll... No, in order to change her, you need positive kavana in the get that I'm writing this get so that this woman and this man now will be divorced. So it's a different contextual arena. So now that we ask the question, what's the difference between kachim and gerushin? And we give a very good and basic understanding that it depends on context. And by kachim, it's stama lishma. By gerushin, it's not stama lishma. So therefore, the neutral categories are going to be different. Good. How do I know that by kachim, stam is acceptable? How do I know that? So what do you want to tell me? It's our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah only talks about the negative and doesn't talk about the positive? Gemara says, okay, let's go over to Gittin. In the world of Get, it only says the negative. It doesn't talk about the positive. So it can't be just because our Mishnah talks about the negative and not the positive. That can't be it. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's based on the Mishnah that we're going to learn in just a couple weeks from now. The Mishnah talks about, what if I have multiple kavanas? Right? Not just a single kavana of this is this karban, but rather, l'shem Pesach u l'shem shlamim. Time Adam L'Shem Pesach U'L'Shem Shlamim L'Shem Pesach U'Stam HaKasher. And from there we can make a deal that if it's Stam it would be okay. Meaning he starts off, let me be clear about that, he starts off with a L'Shem Pesach, Shem Karban Pesach, and then from that point forward he didn't have anything in mind. So Amma Stam HaKosh,
huh? He means the owner?
He meaning the one who's doing the Avoda.
The coin.
Right? By Shechita it doesn't have to be the coin. I've been deliberate all morning to talk about who's not saying who's doing the shechita, because the shechita can be done by the owner. The other avodas have to be done by a kohen. But in this context, it doesn't matter. We're just speaking specifically about the one who did the avoda. And so later on, we're going to learn the Mishnah that if I have a kavana of Pesach and Shlamim, so that's not good. But what if it's Pesach and then nothing? A kavana of Karban Pesach and then zero kavana, neutral kavana. So then, Amma Stama Kalashman Dami. The Gemara says that's a terrible example. Dilma Shani Hasam Dama Kalosa Al Dasri Shana Osa. Look, if you started off with the right Kavana, so then from that point forward, you're right, you're committed, you're in drive. So neutral over there is not neutral. Neutral is your lack of Kavana is, it's not a vacuum. It's just, it goes along with what you originally had in the Kavanah.
How many times do you have to repeat your Kavanah? You said it once. And
at this point, right, it's a funny, it's a good question. And from this Gemara, it sounds like you just need to keep repeating. L'shem, l'shem, l'shem. But as we're going to learn...
But I can see you repeating for each step along the way, you know, everything, collecting the blood and carrying it and splashing.
Right, right.
But
right. The
when you're doing shechting, you're going to get over.
Right, when we do matzah, right, they keep telling you again and again, l'shem matzah mitzvah. Okay, good. Elam isefa shalol l'shman l'shman shem shlam l'shem pesach tam adam l'shem shlam l'shem pesach has tam l'shem pesach kasher. Again, so what about the Mishnah later on that talks about shlamim then pesach? What, and the Mishnah doesn't discuss this, but we're going to make a diuk. What if you had no intent and then correct intent? So you went neutral to positive. So it sounds like from the Mishnah would be okay. And if that's correct, so then it sounds like neutral is okay. And again, the Gemara says, not good. So look, you went neutral to the correct Kavana. Maybe the fact that at the end of the Avoda, you demonstrated correct Kavana, that demonstrates that really throughout it wasn't really Stami. You really did have consciously, unconsciously, however you want to say it, it fills in the rest of the avoda with proper lishma intention.
I think when you go from neutral, it really doesn't matter because that's your first declaration. Neutral, you've just been silent.
Okay, right.
So then you make a declaration, and that's your declaration. You're
okay. Inami, I did the tana shman v'lo shlo shman tana nami shlo shman v'lo shman. Also, look from the Mishnah. You want to make a diuk? I don't want to make a diuk from the Mishnah. The fact that the Mishnah goes over both scenarios of lishma and shlo lishma or shlo lishma lishma, maybe the Mishnah did that for purposes of symmetry, but not for us to make a diuk from that Mishnah. Elameha. So good. So the Gemara says, okay. So leave that Mishnah alone. And the Gemara says, how about this Mishnah? Okay. And I told you, this is really the Mishnah that we needed to know to get off the ground. which is this requirement of lishma by a carbon. It's a Mishnah and Daf Mem Vavam and Beis. Lishem Shisha Dvarim, that when you shech the carbon, you have to have the following six things in mind. Nizbach Lishem Zevach, Lishem Zoveach, Lishem Hashem, right? That's the correct change.
What does that mean?
Okay, so each one. I'm sorry, let's go step by step. So Lishem Zevach, you have to have the right carbon in mind. You have to know what the carbon is. Lishem Zoveach, you have to know who is bringing this carbon. Lishem Hashem, it has to be
for Hashem.
Right. Lishem Ishim, it has to be burnt on the Mizbech for the purposes of being burnt on the Mizbech, assuming that it's an Ola, or even if it's not an Ola. Parts of every carbon are burnt on the Mizbech. Lishem Reach, Lishem Nichawach. For Reach.
Reach and
Nichawach. We'll hold it. Hold it. Okay. Reach Nichawach, it has to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Rashi says, we'll learn this later on in more detail. If it was roasted and then put up on the Mizbeach, that's no good. Nichawach. Hanachas Ruach LaKadosh Baruch Hu, writes Rashi, Shenemar V'nasa Ritzono, to provide some sort of Nachas Ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, we'll get to the Mishnah later on, we'll discuss in more detail. V'ha'achatas V'ashlam L'shem Chet. And one other thing, if you bring a Karban Chatas or Karban Asham, you have to know what the sin was that this is being brought for, because this Karban serves as a Kabar, you have to know what the sin is. Am Rav Yossi Af Mishalo Haya Baliva L'shem Achas Mikol Eila Kasha. Rav Yossi says, oh, what if you had none of this in mind? It's okay. It's okay. Right? Shetanai Basin, who asked new Basin, Dolo Lema Lishmo, Dilma Asalamemer Shalo Lishmo, because it's part of Tanai Basin, part of the conditions of Basin. Because look, sometimes more is less. No, that's not true. A lot of times, more is less. And if every single time you bring a carbon, you're going to be required to have, well, hold on 1 second, Lishem. I got to know who the owner is. I got to know what the carbon is. I got to know. Right? And if you require every single time to have all kavanas in force and in mind, and maybe even articulate, and you got to say all of them, right, you're going to mess up. More is less. So Rav Yossi says, you know what, Tanai Beisdin, that the part of the Beisdin stipulation and bringing kavanas is, you know what, better say nothing. Just don't say anything. Dilma Asala Meimah Shalal Lishma, because what's going to happen is that if you're saying something, it'll lead to a mistake. Good. What do you see over there? Clearly what you see over there is that stam, the absence of kavana, is acceptable. Good. The isal kadarcha stam apostle kaima basin amasna milsa. Yeah, right. Kaima basin amasna milsa de milsa bay. Good. And the Gemara now just finishes its argument. Look, it can't be that you can have a tanai basin, a stipulation of basin, that stam works if stam doesn't work. So it must be that this idea of stam must work. Good. So based on the Mishnah and Memvav, we now have demonstrated and concluded that stam works. That by a karban, if I have stam kavana, if I have neutral kavana is in fact acceptable. Why? So we'll go back to what the Gemara taught us earlier this morning. Because of the context. You're in the Beis HaMikdash, you're a Kohen, you're the owner of the animal. There's enough contextual cues to tell you that this is really for the purposes of Avoda. As opposed to a get, by a get, no. The contextual cues are not this way. She's a married woman. Her status quo is married. Every time she fills out a paper, she checks off married. And now you want to change her status for that. Neutral is not acceptable. You need positive kavana when writing a get. This is l'shem. This is going to be for the purposes of divorce.
Is there any condition of the avad or chatchila about this or not? Otherwise, there is no necessary requirement for him to say anything at all at that time.
And not only that, but as we just learned in the Mishnah, Memvav, it's preferable for him not to say something, right, so as not to mess it up. So, but no, in other words, there's no chatchila b'diavad, meaning in the conversation of the Shema, it's li'ikuva. It will damage a carbon and it will damage a get.
It's better not to say anything at all.
That's the Mishnah. That's
acceptable.
That's the Mishnah Memvav. Good. All right. So good. So we've covered the first half of Zvachim. Introduced ourselves. Very, very limited introduction to Zvachim in general. I told you it's like pay as we go. Right. Learn as we go. We go through the Masechtin, and these concepts will hit us again and again, and it does penetrate. I promise. It's all these concepts may be new and foreign, and we don't have karbanos nowadays, but it does penetrate. And we learned today, we focused today on the category, on the concept of lishma. Generally speaking, lishma doesn't disqualify a karban, but what shelo lishma does is it detaches the owner from the karban. And in the Gemara, we contrasted the lishma of get versus the lishma of karban, in that by a karban, neutral is acceptable. By a get, neutral is unacceptable. The basic difference is the contextual cues that come out through karban versus get. And tomorrow, we're going to discuss get. How do we know that by get, neutral is unacceptable? And that by a get, in order for a get to be kosher get, you have to write it specifically, lishma. And neutral is not good. That'll be a good part of discussion, and we'll come back to learning zvachim as well.
What's the difference between the word zvachim and karbana?
Zevach is a karban. Right, but zevach is an animal. Right, a karban could be referring to generically anything that is offered. But zevach is referring specifically to an animal.